Okay, we've been talking about healing for the soul. And we had our little break in there, so you're going to have to go back to the last 2 weeks to kind of pick up if you didn't. But we've talked about the fact that the soul can be broken, it can be torn, it can be cut asunder, it can have all these various things happening to them. Let me read some of them to you. The soul can be hunted, branded, torn in pieces. It can be snatched away. The soul can be imprisoned. And what is your soul? It's your mind, your will, your emotions. It's your personality. See, and let me tell you something else too. If you dwell on your problem, if you dwell on the issues you're going through all the time, what you have done is you are separating yourself from the truth, and you're establishing yourself in a lie. See, it's your choice. See, we have to choose to not let ourselves become overwhelmed with circumstances or things that come against us, because they do. We have to, and when that happens, you know, actually the verse I'm reading to you is out of Ezekiel, or what I'm making reference to, and it talks about witches snatching the souls of men. But, you know, there's a lot of witchcraft in this nation going on. It's in our entertainment, like you wouldn't believe. And see, so when we become fascinated, I said last time, fantasizing can take and detach your soul. Because you all of a sudden, you do that yourself. You're living over here in a false world, in an unreal world, in a place of unreality. We need to come back into alignment, spirit, soul, and body. We need to come back into a place of wholeness. I shared with you how, a few weeks ago, I shared with you some of my stories, but I also shared with you how for years, I felt like I was always the little girl with everybody. I was the young one. I was the one that even though I could be with people younger than me, I felt like I was the young one. And I was teaching on this stuff all the time. And all of a sudden, one day I said, Lord, sometimes when you come out with these really good prayers, those are unctioned by the Holy Ghost. You know, it's not like, oh, I just came up with the best prayer ever. No, you just got a revelation from the Holy Spirit. That's what you did. But I was sitting there, and that's what the Holy Spirit. And so gave me revelation, and I thought, God, is that a fragment in me? And I said, Lord, if this is so easy to do, so easy. I said, Lord, if this is a broken part in my life, just take that little girl and reintegrate her and grow her up in Jesus' name. And I said it kind of half believing it, because I thought, well, maybe I am and maybe I'm not, but I wonder. So I just decided to do it. And you know what? I have never felt that way since then. Never, not one second. So what's that proof of? I was broken in that area, wasn't I? You see? So sometimes the Lord can just show you some things. All you have to do is pray. Your prayers are as powerful as any of ours. Remember, I've told you, you better be connecting with Jesus, not us. We don't got your answers. And we can be vessels, all right? But he's the one that you better be connecting with. He's the one you better be developing relationship with, because he's the one that holds us. When we're in storms, I'll stand with you, but I don't know if I'll stand with you as long as Jesus would. I might get tired of you somewhere in there. I mean, I'm a human being, right? Now, I go a long ways with people, but I just might say, you know what, I'm getting really tired of this, and you need to do, you know? But he never leaves us, and he's always there for us. And he will kindly and lovingly correct us if we need it. We just need to adhere to what he says to do, don't we? So you need to be talking to him. You need to be talking to the Holy Spirit. It talks about communing with the Holy Spirit. What a friend. What a wonderful friend we have. Always there with us. Always. Okay. And the soul could be imprisoned. It can be cleaved to. It can be tied to another person through sexual relationships or wrong, strong attachments. It can be redeemed. Hallelujah. The soul can be ransomed and atoned for. It can be bound by swearing an oath. Those are things. Remember, I went through a few weeks ago that if the Holy Spirit, when I'm teaching this, says, oh, that's you, write it down. Don't walk away and not take note of it. Unless you're so intelligent, you won't forget it later. I mean, that's great. But if you aren't, write it down. So when you, we pray, because we're going to do the corporate, integrating. I love that. The Holy Spirit, he just amazes me all the time because he can so move out so individually and so touch every single one of us, whether it's casting out a demon and or whether it's this, integrating and bringing you back into alignment, which is easy for him to do. Okay, we can, so in other words, when I'm talking about oaths, be very careful that you've said, well, I will never do this, or I'm never going to be like that, because you probably will be like that then. Or, you know, even saying, I wish I was dead. I don't want to live anymore. Those are oaths you're swearing. And, you know, years ago, and I've told you this, I've told the classes this, I was praying for someone years ago, and this person had had convulsions and seizures and ended up being a very broken person. And I was praying for them, and the Holy Spirit told me, command his spirit man to come into alignment. I thought, well, that sounds strange. I've never heard of that before. So I didn't do it. And you know what? God's okay with questioning him, all right? Because you don't want to be weird either. And so I thought, well, that sounds weird to me. So the next time I went to pray for this person, same thing came up. Command his spirit man to come into alignment. And I still thought, you know, I don't know if this is just me or what, so I'm not doing it. So then I went home from the house, and there was this Bible teacher on, and she was actually on Daystar. And her name is Kiko Horman. I don't even know if she's alive anymore. She was a physical scientist and had done much study on the body and on all the various things that you study with physical science. Well, anyway, she was telling the story that she went to pray for a man one day. And she goes, I usually never do that. I don't go to hospitals. But God said to her, it was a pastor, he was dying, and the Lord told her to go and pray for him. So she went in, because the guy was dying, and they said he wouldn't live through the night. So she went in, and she said she saw, like, his spirit hovering over him in the bed. And you know, if you've ever heard stories, which most of us have, of life after death or whatever, they say they came out of their body and they could watch before they actually left. Well, that's what she saw. And so she said she began to command, the Holy Spirit told her to command his spirit to come back into his body, to come back into alignment. And that's what the Lord had told me about this little boy. So I thought, whoa, Lord, that's so cool. Because, you know, it's kind of cool when you're hearing something from the Spirit of God. And even though I was wanting to test it, then when someone else hears that, it was just really cool. So I went home and I prayed over that little boy. And I've prayed over a number of people that way. But she said one thing, and I thought that was real interesting, is that things that can cause your spirit to be out of alignment, and it could be your soul too, okay, your personality, but death wish, okay? So if you've wanted to kill yourself or you've wanted to die or whatever, then you've told your spirit man it's time to leave. You need to repent of that, and you need to call that thing back into alignment. Because you know what? We are in charge of this person right here, aren't we? We are. You know, I heard a story one time about a pastor, and he went up to the, up on the, whatever that big building in Chicago, or not Chicago, New York. Huh? Empire State Building. Duh. Anyway, he was way up there, and he was looking out, and all of a sudden a voice said to him, why don't you just jump off? And he said, no! You jump off. I'm not jumping off. You know, why don't we say that when the devil says, yeah, just go kill yourself. Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. Guess I'll go eat worms, right? What are you listening to that for? Why don't you say, no, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. You do it. Seriously, you know? But we listen to the enemy and entertain that. And then all of a sudden, we almost like disassociate, you know, daydreaming is a disassociation. You can have somebody there talking to you and you don't hear a word they say because you're way out here thinking somewhere else. And then that's not a major disassociation, but it is as a form of it. You see, we need to bring ourselves back into proper alignment. That is why constant fantasizing can really, especially about anything in particular, can really begin to disassociate you. And what I would recommend in that, and we're going to get into this a little bit more, is let the Holy Spirit show you the root of that, why that's an escape for you, why you want to keep escaping to that place, okay? Because God don't want us to escape. He wants us to deal with life, doesn't he? in Christ. Okay, the soul can be knitted with another soul, dried away, grieved, vexed, cursed by words of the mouth, spoiled or humbled. The soul can pant and thirst for God. The soul can be cast down and bowed down. It can be hunted. It can be captured or snatched away. The soul can be lean, satisfied, filled with longing and hungering. The soul can be made an offering, poured out. Jesus' soul was poured out, wasn't it? He was made an offering. I mean, his whole life was, but the soul can be devoured, killed, destroyed. The soul can be sorrowful, pierced, subverted, and you'll have to go back and get scriptures off my other, last time I taught it. The soul can be unstable. And we deal with that a lot in everybody, world or church. And so the church comes in, and we have all these, the people come into the church, and we've never ministered healing in these areas to the people, so the church is still unstable. Individually, I'm talking about personal lives, are dysfunctional in their homes, okay? And it's because we've never dealt with these issues. And when we deal with these issues, and I cannot say this strong enough, it's your responsibility to do that. See, you've got to pull up your bootstraps and say, I'm going to deal with this. And this is not where I'm going to stay anymore. You know, I used to get, this sounds really, really stupid, but I'm going to tell it to you. I used to get really mad at my daughter's dog because they lived with us for a while, and the dog would always go out back and go to the bathroom in the yard. And I didn't have a real big backyard. And then my little grandson would go out and play in that yard, and I'd think, ugh, parasites. You know, don't go barefoot in the backyard. But I would really get agitated over the fact that nobody went out and cleaned that up. And I hated dog doo in my backyard. So one day I'm there, and in my little fit, anger, Lord said, just go out and clean it up. Be quiet. Okay. But I had a choice, didn't I? You see? We have a choice. We can grumble, and we can complain, and we can go on and on and on, or we can just deal with it. It's kind of like Joyce Meyer says, we get bent out of shape over a sink full of dirty dishes. Go do them. Quit your grumbling and complaining. Quit, you know, arguing with everybody around you. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Our responsibility is to straighten us up according to the word, that bring ourselves into proper alignment. And see, when the Holy Spirit, and this is why I said, it's up to you. You have got to begin to pursue whatever it is that you need by the power of the Holy Spirit. You go after Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, she kept pressing and pressing and pressing till she laid hold of him.
Good.
You know? Don't come to me and say, Bev, you go do the pressing for me.
That's good.
You do your own pressing.
Come on.
God wants the body of Christ to grow up.
Amen.
And we've got to grow up. We've got to quit. You know, we read in Colossians where it says to put away anger and wrath and malice and deceit and all these things. You know, well, we can cast them out of you, but you've got some habit patterns that have been developed in you because of life. So being there and being we've cast every devil we know to get out of you must be then you're going to have to do some things to change your flesh. See what I'm saying? That's where our accountability comes in. And we need to quit whining, pampering ourselves, quit entertaining, quit being in self-pity, and get up and move forward. God is wanting a church that's strong in these last days. And I believe, I truly believe, even just the fact that everybody, right, or not everybody, but lots of people are dealing with huge things that are out of the norm for them, is a sign, I believe, of the enemy trying to get us off to stop. Because, you know, the devil senses anointings. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, you know, he knew that a baby was born that was probably the Messiah, but he didn't know which one. But he knew something was going on, didn't he? So he killed them all to make sure he got them. See, the enemy knows something's getting ready to shift. The enemy knows that our prayers have gone up to God as sweet incense, and there are things, and not just our prayers, but the prayers of those before us.
Right.
And we're ready for a huge earthquake in the spirit realm, a good one, that's going to shift and break and cause some things to shift. Now, you're going to be a part of that, or you're going to be whining through it. One or the other, it's up to you. Say, gird up your loins. Quit acting like a baby. Grow up. Deal with this person right here. We've got to do that. Just like I had to shut my mouth and go out and clean the dog do up. And you know, it was funny because once I did it, it didn't bother me no more. So I just went out every day and cleaned it up. And then my yard was clean and I was happy. Was that easy? That sounds really dumb, but I did that every day. And I also was very agitated over dishes in the sink. You know, get over yourself. You know, not saying there wasn't some responsibility on that corner, but they weren't taking it. So I had to just, at that point, stop my whining and do what I needed to do so I could move myself past what I needed to move myself past. You know, and before that, I was casting out every demon of anger I could think of, and it wasn't working. You want to know why? Because it wasn't a demon. It was my flesh. You know? So my attitude. That's what it was. Nothing else. Anyway, there's lots more on what heck can happen to the soul, but I'm gonna just actually try to get into this and keep on track today so I can get through a lot of this stuff. Cause next week I really want to do a corporate, prayer of, healing and integrating. So today what you're gonna get is gonna kind of help you walk towards that so that you will be knowledgeable on how to work with us next week. And it's easy. Just like I said, when I thought, could that be me? And I just said, well, God, if it is, then I ask you to reintegrate me and grow me up. And it happened. That simple. Just a simple, simple prayer. Okay, so people can be fragmented or broken or disassociated. You know, when you hear about disassociated disorders, okay, that's really what this is. And I said before, psychiatrists and psychologists figured this out a long time ago. The church has ignored it, but Jesus heals it. It says that he is the healer of the brokenhearted, and the broken heart is the soul. He isn't talking about your physical heart. He's talking about the mind, the will, the emotions, our personality, and how it can be fragmented and how it can be broken. And it's broken through abuse. It's broken through occult practices. It's broken through probably any sexual relationship outside of the marriage, because you tie yourself to that person. And there's a transference. There's a break. That's why you do break soul ties, because you just let part of your soul go to another person and what they had come to you. But these things can happen, and they they have different degrees of severity. Like some could be slight fragments or disassociation, and some can be major, okay? But I've never found in doing this with people and working with people that there was anything that wasn't simple to Jesus, because it was very simple. So no matter how bad you think you are, he is bigger than that, and he is able to help you, okay? But there are three things that really are mechanics that work to fragment the soul, and one is impression, one is repetition, and the other one is association. And they're the mechanisms by actually how our brain and our mind even begin to function. And next week, I'm going to even go over parts of the brain that lock in specific emotions, because that is also scientifically known, how various parts in your brain will lock in fear or anger, and those things stay locked in there. Okay, so let's look at impression. Impression is how a memory is recorded. Okay, now what we go back to, or where our dysfunctions come out of then, is where things from our past have happened. And they usually start out when we're children, but they can continue to keep going, and there can be things that even happen to us as adults, and because we've already been broken, we usually just break more because we're weakened. Our structure is weakened in that area. And so it's easier for the enemy. And the enemy is very strategic with that, because if he can break your life or cause you to be broken, be brokenhearted, that's what Jesus said, then you're never going to be able to operate in the body of Christ with wholeness. All right. And we need to be whole, because if you come to me And I'm whole in this one area, but I fall apart in the other area. It's like, good grief, what did I go to her for? You see what I'm saying? So we need to be willing to deal with these areas, and we need to actually let the Holy Spirit search those areas out in our lives so that we can consistently deal with them and bring our lives back into alignment with Christ. Okay? And sometimes it is no more than you making a choice to stop acting like you're acting. Okay? But usually there's reasons for that. There's things that have happened to us as children or maybe adults, but it's still not an excuse for you. It's not an excuse. You still are accountable to God to deal with this. And even actually sitting in my class makes you even more accountable because now I've told you how to get out of it, you see? But who would want to get out of it? You know, I didn't like being around people and always feeling inferior to them. Because that's what I felt like when I was that little girl. It's a lot easier to be around people and feel normal. It's a lot healthier feeling. So impression is how a memory is recorded in the mind. Medical researchers have discovered that neuron chains, I read a little bit of this last week, are built when information is received. Each time the memory reoccurs, or each time the same issue happens to you, an electrical pulse runs down the same path and the chain becomes stronger. They have also observed that as the memory recurs more times, the neurons traveling over that chain actually fissure a rut into the brain. Memories then flow in that path of least resistance down through those ruts. And it's interesting. In fact, remember I told you, like, there are times we can get people delivered, but those demonic situations in their lives have also formed habit patterns. So you know what? It's not a big deal that the devil's cast out, because you're still going to operate like that till you renew your mind and come out of agreement with that. You have to come out of agreement with behaviors and change those. Okay, that's our part to play. Jesus, we're commanded to get delivered. And see, once you get delivered, it's a lot easier to break those old habit patterns that have been so established, all right, once you're free. So then we need to start doing that. It's kind of like I also was delivered of a lot of rejection, okay? So that doesn't mean that rejection, and I mean, that was such a drastic thing for me, but the healing of that, but it doesn't mean that there have not been times that rejection has not knocked at my door again, because it has. But then I'm faced with the choice of whether I will submit to that, surrender to that, or say, no, I'm free of that, and I'm not going back into that. I'm not going to let whether they accept me or not accept me, or whether, you know, and a lot of times people accept you, but there's voices that tell you they don't. Now, those are the voices that in 2 Corinthians 10 we're told to bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So a fissure, these things, these memories, like, because they run along that path, cause like a fissure or a rut. But I thought, well, I'm going to look up the word fissure and get an exact meaning of it. And this is what it said. It is a long, narrow opening, a split or a crack, a natural cleft, an opening in an organ or part as those separating the convolutions of the brain. That was out of the dictionary when I got it. I thought that was interesting. So actually, it's talking about the same thing, even in the dictionary. What causes a memory to be deeply recorded in the mind is the emotion. So in other words, when there's a real strong emotion that comes to you from what happened, okay, to you as a child or as a young adult or whenever, that becomes recorded in your mind. Like, or it may be blocked until the Holy Spirit brings it up. See, just because... you know, a lot of times people can have infections or cancers growing in the body, and you don't even know they're there. See, a lot of times we can have things going on the inside of us, and we've so blocked it, we don't even remember them. And so we need to, but it's still there. See, you can say, well, I don't have cancer, and I'm telling you, you don't have to receive cancer, okay? But if it's growing in a body, it needs to be dealt with. See what I'm saying? You need to take authority over it. You need to get the Word of God on it. But if it's gotten its way in there, ignoring it, it's not going to make it go away. In the same way here, when we have memories locked into the soul and we have certain reactions and triggers that keep erupting because of these memories and stuff, if we still have to then take and deal with those things and allow them to be removed and let the Holy Spirit even bring things to you that may be blocked. When I first became a believer, and I knew none of this, I didn't, you know, hardly know anything. When I first became a believer, I believed there was God, Jesus, and the devil, and that was it, nothing else. And the Lord began to bring some memories back to me when I shared those things with you a few weeks ago. That happened to me as a little girl. But they had real strong emotions tied to them, okay? And so for some reason, because it was such a deep wounding, I blocked it. And I absolutely had never thought of that up until the time when I got saved, and the Holy Spirit brought that to me. And when he did, I just laid in bed and I just kind of like let tears come and whatever, but it was healing to me, okay? But at that point, I didn't understand integration, so I still probably needed to do a work there, but it was real surprising to me how, and when he brought it to me, I remembered it. So the Holy Spirit may bring some things to you, and then you'll remember them because they've been buried, all right? Okay, so what causes a memory to be deeply recorded in the mind is the emotion with which the memory is received. Also included within this are our own natural senses, such as seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, and tasting. These also are all used in making the impression. And then when the impact is radical or perhaps violent, the memory becomes so deeply recorded within us, that fissure, that it is called like a trauma. We talked about traumas a few weeks back. Had a young woman that came to me one time who was molested as a 7-year-old by a guy at a bar, because her parents were in the bars, and he gave her money, took her outside, violated her, gave her money for it, and when she came back in, the daddy somehow caught on to it or whatever and found out about it. So he took his little girl the next day to that man's house, and he killed that man in front of her. He confronted the man and murdered him. And so I don't even know how we got into it when we were praying with her, but at one point she said, I hate money. I just hate money. I hate money. And we're like, why? You know? And then she kept saying, I have blood on my hands. I have blood on my hands. And this woman was blind. She had glasses that were so thick, she could hardly see. Why was that? What the Lord showed us is that when she had to look at that because of the traumatic emotion that was there, she just wanted to cover her eyes and not see any of that. And the whole thing came out in deliverance and praying in her healing. And she actually sees very well today. It's a miracle. But see, those were things that she blocked because of that. So that's what that's talking about there, is that strong emotion that I don't think she even remembered that actually, even until we started going into prayer with her. But the memory becomes so deeply recorded that it's like a trauma. The fissure that is registered in the mind is so deep that in a figurative sense, it appears as a crack or a fragment in the soul or a place of brokenness. Deep fissures and ruts comprise our deepest memories, which, when traumatic, can be a detriment to our thought processes and an enemy to sound character in our lives. So if there's areas of your life you don't, and you know, it doesn't mean your whole life, but there could be areas in your life that you don't feel your character is the best, okay? Well, there's reasons for that, all right? But we can still let them be uprooted and exposed so we can deal with them. These also can become strongholds in our lives. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Those are the things we think about, the images. And you know, when a person had something traumatic happen to them, we imagine all sorts of things. We imagine people are saying this about us. We imagine they think these things about us. You know what I'm talking about? And it's nothing but warfare against your mind. I had a woman come to me one time and she said, I felt like you have always hated me. I've never felt like you liked me. And it was like, where did that come from? Because I didn't even know who she was at that point when she said that to me. But see, that's what the enemy, because of some areas of her brokenness, would tell her. And she was convinced that those things were true. See, so we have to be careful when negative things like that come to us, that we don't dwell on them and receive them. Jesus said to bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All right? Okay. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so he's telling you those are high, idolatrous things that are endeavoring to acknowledge, to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Because you know what? The Bible says you're accepted in the beloved. Now, if y'all don't accept me, that's okay. I'm accepted in the beloved. You see what I'm saying? And that's who I've learned to serve Jesus. Remember what I said? You don't belong to the circumstance. You belong to Jesus. And when you get a revelation of that, I'm Jesus's. I'm his, and he's mine. So I really, hallelujah. We need to get back to where we have that intimate relationship with Jesus. Bringing into captivity every thought or voice to the obedience of Christ. When medical science tries to use physical means to pull down a stronghold, it's not using the might of God. Only the Holy Spirit provides spiritual power. And that's why you can watch people keep going sometimes to counseling or psychiatrists or psychologists, and 10 years later, they're still no better. You see what I'm saying? Because only the Holy Spirit really can deal with these things. And only Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. We're not even that. We can become people who, vessels for God to use to cause that to come about in people's lives, but we're not the healer. He is. Memories can become strongholds through deeply impacted emotional incidents. It then repeats as a memory and becomes even more deeply entrenched in the mind. Rehearsing wrongs. Ta-da. How many of you have done that? You go over it and over it and over it and over it. Been there? Rehearsing these things over and over and over causes that fissure, that area, to become even deeper. So you need to just stop. You need to start speaking to things. You know, Jesus said death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, we can speak death to things. There are things you should speak death to, such as cancer, such as some of these voices, such as sickness and disease. See, that's the power of your words. So we, you know, Pastor Kevin was saying a few weeks ago, and I knew this was in there, but I forgot all about it. He was talking about when God made Eve, and the original text said he made another speaking spirit. We were made to speak. We need to just be careful we speak good things. So rehearsing wrongs can become your thoughts, and you can build fissures or ruts. Sometimes we can hear something and the devil says, that's yours and that's your lot for life. And then you begin to rehearse that in your thoughts and then begin to speak it, and it becomes a stronghold and an expectation. That very much is true with maybe going to a doctor and getting a really bad report. We begin to speak the problem and we begin to establish that problem. See, the enemy wants to establish negative in our lives. God wants to establish positive, and it's done through words. Okay, the other way that these our souls can be broken, and it would be like repetition, something happening over and over. When a thought or a memory repeats time and time again, the fissure becomes deeper and deeper. When an activity or a violation is repeated or becomes a habit, the action becomes programmed into your brain. This is so true of sexual violation on children. Especially a child that is sexually violated over and over and over. The effects of that are literally horrific in later on walking that person out, because they've become so embedded in that, all right? But even at that, Jesus can take you and walk you out of it and speak truth into that area where it's like, okay, like the woman that came to me and said, you've never liked me. Where did she get that? From the enemy, you see? But when we come into agreement with that, that's what we believe. Okay, was that the truth? No. Wasn't the truth at all. I liked her. But I didn't really know her even to not like her, you know? But she received that lie and believed the lie. So I had the opportunity to speak truth into that. But if you've got issues where you have belief systems because of certain things that have happened to you, the Holy Spirit will speak truth into that lie And you know, when truth confronts the lie never can successfully stand after that. That's awesome, isn't it? Truth is much more powerful. God is truth. Satan is the father of lies. Okay, let me find my place. But it becomes programmed in the brain, and it becomes like a subconscious action in us. Subconscious activity is simply the underlying effect of deep habits or memories, fissures. A person has thought a certain way for such a long time. See, we've walked down this pathway over and over and over. So we've established that in our lives, okay? So, yes, there's a need of deliverance, but yet there's a need of removing that fissure, that pathway, that habit, those ruts, all right? You can even pray for God to give you new, make new neural pathways in yourself and remove those ruts. Nothing is impossible with God. A person can have a thought or thinks in a certain way for such a long time that they don't even have to then think about it to do it. They just automatically operate in it. And that's where next week we're going to talk about triggers, how there's things that automatically, man, you're right there. You're right there, okay? And it's because we've dwelt on wrongs done to us. We've rehearsed them. And in the beginning, they did cause patterns and fissures in us, okay? And, you know, I read a book one time. A guy wrote that after a while, the devil will come, and he can so get something established in us, and he don't even have to stay there to keep it operating because we'll operate in it. See, so those are where we need those crooked places made straight, don't we? See, because if I've had a negative habit that's been provoked by a demonic thing that somehow has been released into my life, and I operate in that, and I operate in that, you know, it isn't after a while, it's not a big difference whether the demon's there or not, and you should get them out, definitely. But you just operate in that, see? So that's where it comes back to you to renew your mind and to begin to break those negative habit patterns. See, and so when you begin to break them off, literally you're establishing, and you do operate different. You will literally begin to establish new patterns in our lives. Lou and I always tell about Lou in our class, but Lou and I used to fight all the time. I mean, that's all we did. I mean, he never had a whole lot of good things to say to me. And I would just be, he was impatient and I never did anything right for him. So, and that, well, that was a generational thing. But anyway, I would respond to those things. And after a while, when he went through deliverance, he began to change. I would still trigger. But what I want to back up and say to you is this, is that when we made a decision at one point in our married life, we used to joke around, Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner, these are old-timers, used to have a song called Our Love's the Fighting Kind, and we'd joke and say, that's us. You know, that's us, babe. That's what we're like. We're just fighting kind. Well, it's not good to be that way. You know, then we got saved, and we were still fighting, you know? And I would tell God to change him, but God would tell me to go look in the mirror, okay? And I hated that, but, and talk about dumb, I was really dumb when I first came to the Lord. I didn't understand anything concerning the gospel. I didn't know that it was this mirror I was supposed to look at. I thought physical mirror, real mirror, was this one, all right? The Word of God is a mirror to you. But anyway, we began to see the damage of our fighting in our children. Then it got heavy. Then it became serious. Because we started dealing with some real heavy things, especially with one of our kids, with rebellion. And this child would turn around and get in our face and said, well, but you, Mom, are you Dad? So it was like the Lord took us and pulled us up short. And see, there's a high cost to matrimonial discord. There's a very high cost to that. Anyway, when that happened one day, we were arguing. In fact, it was Lou and I and our son. We were going at it, all three of us. And all of a sudden, everybody blaming everybody. And I was blaming him. I thought, well, you know, if you would do this, we wouldn't be dealing with this. And all of a sudden, the Lord stopped me. And he said, you either stop your fighting or you're going to lose this battle for your son. And it was like, oh, my goodness. And I said to Lou, this is what God just said. You know, even in our worst messes, God still will still speak to us and still try to help us, still try to align us. But that changed our lives that day, because he ran away from home twice. That's what he did. I mean, and it wasn't just because we were fighting, but fighting sure didn't. You know, the Bible says where there's strife and envy, there's every evil work. So what we did basically was we walked over to the door and said, "Strife, come on in. Just come on in, do every evil work you want to do in our house," because we were feeding into that. We were allowing that. Well, then at that point, we really realized, these are stories here before we got delivered, okay? But even at that, God pulled us up so short that day that we knew we better change and we better shut our mouths. Because you know what? You get into these and you say something and then they got to say something and then you got to answer that back and then they got to answer it back and da-da-da-da-da-da. Because you got to prove they're wrong. God doesn't call us to do that. Well, anyway, so we made a decision to change, and we did change that day. And then any time, and the reason I'm telling you this is that there is a place where you're going to have to make some decisions and stop. So when things like what I just read to you here, they would operate out of the subconscious, and see, here you had two people who had major issues in rejection, major junk that had happened in both of our families. So we were carrying all this baggage, never been delivered of it. And so it was operating between the two of us. The devil loves that. Because you know what? If you're in unity, nothing's impossible by coming into agreement, is it? So the two most important people to stand in agreement would be a husband and wife. So if he can divide a husband and wife, you know, it's like your prayers hang them up because you're divided. All right. So that's why he operates. So we had all these issues, and all of a sudden these issues began to come up, and we started reaping them. It's one thing to go on, but it's another thing when you start reaping what you've done. Now, God can help you deal with those things, and you can have crop failure, but you're going to have to do some things to get that crop failure. Number one, you need to repent, and you need to ask God to help you. But we decided that day we were going to stop this because, my goodness, it was becoming destructive. So from that point on, even though we had subconscious issues, this became a stronger consciousness within us that we had to stop. So if we got into it, we'd say, "Sorry, honey, I didn't need to say that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And every time we started getting into something, we'd say, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Please forgive me." And you want to know what happened? It just totally stopped. And he and I don't argue and fight. We get along. He's my absolute best friend. And I'm his too. So, right, Lou? Amen. But it's true. But see, that was choice. It's where the enemy wanted to divide two people that would stand stronger for their children than anybody else. You see? So the importance, I don't care if it does come out of your subconscious, there has to be a reckoning within us of where things are moving in our lives, in our marriages, in relationship with your children. You know, God didn't call you to abuse your children with your mouth. Speak down to your children. Be harsh with your children. There is a way to work with your children. Okay. Let me go back to my thing here. A person has thought a certain way for such a long time that they don't have to even think to do it. And again, that's why you have to break those patterns. We just do them. Sometimes we might forget why we act like we act in this area of dysfunction, but irregardless, do something to get it stopped. And what do you do? You know what? If you starve something and don't feed it, what happens to it? It dies. So if you quit feeding into some of these things, they eventually, you know, I really believe this. One of the strongest weapons that we have in the Spirit of God, in the Bible, is the weapon of choice. Joshua said, "Choose this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God." So we can either serve all this discord, all this dysfunction, or we can choose to serve Jesus. And when we choose to serve Jesus, do you know what that means? It means submit. You know, submit yourself to the Lord, resist the devil, and then he flees. See, it's a good way to get delivered. It really is. There is a degree of deliverance that can come by you literally, first of all, submitting to God. When God tells you to do something, when God tells you to shut your mouth, when God tells you to go back to that person and apologize, you submit to God, and then resisting becomes easy. And I'll tell you what, with the value of that, oh my goodness, how God has so brought healing into our house. We have healing in our family. But it was because the two of us made a decision that day, we're not acting like this no more. We're done. We're done. Okay, the reason people sometimes think the way they do is associated back to maybe a traumatic thing that happened in their life or a negative memory or a strong negative emotional memory. One of them for me was like when I told you a few weeks ago, was when my father was gone for over a year. And when he came back and I went running to him because I hadn't seen my dad. I was 6 years old then. And he pushed me away from him. Didn't even take time to give me a hug. And the things I dealt with then was shame. There really must be something wrong with me that my dad didn't want to give me a hug. Humiliated in front of everybody that was there. Rejection, hurt, all of that. That was a deep memory. And it was so deep that actually it was one of the things that I had totally forgot about, but God brought back to me. You see, so we can have when they are so strong like that, but again, it's like a cancer on the inside of you that if you don't root it out, see, we have to root these things out, and you're the one that's responsible to get those rooted out of your life. Okay, why a person maybe, might feel shame, they may have been, and this is a good one too. Sometimes people carry a lot of shame because of sexual abuse, but they have no conscious memory of it. Sometimes we can have things and we don't even know why we do. But again, if you will ask the Holy Spirit to go in and reveal truth in some of these areas, if you just went and said, okay, God, why do I act like this? And you know how you act. Like maybe you have fits of anger. Maybe you carry a lot of rejection. Maybe shame, worthlessness. Well, God, what is the core of that? What's the root of that? And let him show you what that is, because he will. He'll begin to expose the enemy. And actually, that's the word of knowledge in operation. It's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they will come into action for you as you start going through this. But a person could have been sexually abused, totally blocked it. A parent could have shamed a child with words that were said. My father was a great person for shaming all of us kids. And we were always bad. We were never good. And everybody else was always better than us. And he would, I don't know why he did it. Back in the day, a lot of people felt the harder they were on the kids, the better the kids would grow up. I mean, really, that if you're hard on your child, they'll grow up and be a good person. But it doesn't, it destroys them. See, there's a way to nurture your children. There's a way to discipline your children. Okay, while we're dealing with impressions, repetition, and association, in understanding the injuries to the mind, we can't lose sight of the additional relation of evil spirits that then infiltrate at any time of these points. So in this area of woundedness, see, the enemy has had people set up for years where all this stuff goes on in our families. There's wounding after wounding after wounding. He, with his spirits, evil spirits, acts us in. So then they're reinforced. The hurt and the woundedness is reinforced, and then that spirit is there also, okay? So it just becomes a cycle for you that we operate in, and that is why deliverance has to come. It's crucial because you need to remove what keeps causing that thing to trigger and go all the time. And then once that's removed, then you're free to change. But you still have to change. You still have to get your mind renewed. But it's easy. It's so much easier. Okay, they will infiltrate at any of these points. Demons cannot come and go into our lives at their leisure, but they have to have a right of way. And so to be in fear that the devil's just going to come, no, he can't just come to you. There has to be an opening, you see, somewhere where he's had a legal right. If there's a legal right, we can always repent, renounce it, get that door closed, cast him out, and it's gone. It's that easy, too. As soon as we start taking back the ground. You know, when God sent Israel into Canaan, they went and took the land. See, this land we need to take back. We need to take our lives back from the dysfunction that's been there forever. It's been from generation to generation to generation. And how many of you are sick and tired of it? You know, I used to think with generational curses, I thought, oh, humbug, I don't even believe in them. And then I began to see them operate in my children. And Lou and I weren't even doing some of those things, and they were doing them. And it's like, dear Lord, where did all this come from? Generational curses. These things have been in our families for years. But if we don't change them, then who's going to change them? You see, if we don't say, I've had enough of this dysfunction, I've had enough of these curses operating in my life, and we're not doing this no more, devil. And then we go through the right processes, again, which I was just saying to you, breaking off the works of darkness, casting them out, and then allowing the Lord to begin to develop healthy patterns within you by you submitting to this book. That's how they get developed. And it's sometimes, you know what? God will tell you to do something and you do not want to do it. You are so mad at that person, it is the last thing you want to do. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. It'll change your life. It will. When we got, like I said, we started seeing what we were producing in our home. It was like, oh my goodness, this is no game. This is serious stuff. Okay, points of trauma can offer the right of way, like associations, develop and then feed negative emotions such as fear, guilt, shame, anger, and so forth. I've gotten to the point where I can walk up to a person, pretty much tell what they're dealing with just because I can see the operation of those spirits on their lives. I can see people where there's woundedness. I can see where there's been something where that little girl or that little boy has had to hide, and now they are locked up in a fear and a paranoia that Jesus wants them released from. They're locked up in a place of anger and dysfunction, addictions that Jesus wants them free from. And God is able to do that. He is the healer of the brokenhearted. A trauma can be a stronghold in someone's mind and a hiding place for a demon or another strong man at the same time. When a strong man resides in a trauma and a similar event or emotion comes along, it's associated to the initial trauma and can become a portal whereby the evil spirit can take control of a person, make them think and act in a certain way, like going into rages, going into fits, going into fear, going into paranoia, going into insecurity, rejection, withdrawal, where we isolate. Okay, that's how those spirits of isolation, rage, anger, shame, all of that, the fear, the paranoia, operate. And so that person, not, you know, one of the biggest things that the devil does to us is he makes us think that's just the way we are. Not realizing that a lot of these things are demonically provoked in our lives. They've been there forever from the way when we were conceived, your nurture and your nature. Basically, what you received from your parents and then the way they raised you and then what you added to yourself. See, these things then become those patterns that we operate in. So we become, hence the person is demonized in that area, but lucid and sane in all other areas. And that's why you can see a person that's acting totally normal, and then over here it starts to boom, and they've lost it. Or they're just shaking fear over something. Or they're afraid to go somewhere. See what I'm saying? It's because all of a sudden what had happened then is provoked, and that was what operates because of the brokenness in the person. Okay, the next one we're going to look at is association. Associations are links in the thinking chain and key elements in causing memories and character dysfunctions to reoccur. How these associations work within the mind is pivotal to our understanding of why character dysfunction occurs and how the Holy Spirit then can heal your memories. Resident within the memory are certain highlighted points. We can remember details of moments, like maybe the color of a room. Sometimes when I've ministered to people and we've let the Holy Spirit take them back to that, they'll see things that actually were in the room at the time that when whatever happened to them, okay? There was a girl one time that she had asthma really, really bad. And she had had her experience with it. And she did all sorts of treatments for asthma and was never cured of it. And she came forward for prayer. And we knew that there was a root there. And so we said, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to show her the root. And the root was, and when we prayed, she got set free of it. The root was a huge man had violated her as a little girl, was on her chest and cut off her wind, cut off the oxygen. And from that point on, she was unable to breathe. And she had what they diagnosed as asthma. So when we prayed and called that trauma out and prayed some other things in it, she was able to breathe, and she no longer had asthma, or what they called asthma. Isn't that amazing? But see, we see those kind of things happen regularly. Okay, that's why I say the more you do these things and you see those, there's reasons for behaviors. We act dysfunctional because there's reasons for the dysfunctions. But we choose to not stay in those dysfunctions. So again, like the woman with the issue of blood that kept pressing and pressing till she got her healing. See, if you don't give up, you'll lay hold of what God has for you because it belongs to you. Healing, deliverance is the children's bread. It's our right. So resident within our memories are certain highlighted points. We may remember details of the moment, like the color of a room or the clothes someone was wearing, or the particular words that someone spoke. I'll get into this a little bit, but you know what? I can go back to my grandmother's house and see everything play out, like with what happened with my father that day. So I remember it. He didn't remove the memory, but the hurt's gone. The negative emotion that was there is no longer there. Okay, so at times, the Holy Spirit may just give you a word, or he may actually show you something. You might have a vision of it, okay? But we don't try to work things up. You just let God show you, because he knows you, and he knows the best way to minister to you in that situation. Most especially recorded in our minds is the way that we felt about the situation. And this is the main point then of our concern. Which emotions, and this you can think about, which emotions are recorded, are resident in the mind as a result of the trauma? One thing I was going to say a little bit back, and I didn't say this, is that, okay, for me, I walked in huge rejection, huge rejection. Well, if you go back through my past, you can see how those things were really established in there, in those areas. But irregardless of that, when I got delivered from rejection, this was my thinking. I didn't even know rejection was a spirit. I would never have thought about rejection. I just told my story to the person that we went to be ministered to, and he said, well, you have all sorts of rejection. And I thought, well, okay. But when we got delivered, and actually Lou and I did most of our own deliverance, but all my life, I felt this was my personality. I thought it was just the way I was as a person. I didn't realize it was a demon. See, so a lot of the things that we deal with, we have a tendency to beat ourselves up. We have a tendency to feel like a worm, worthless. You feel like a failure. You feel like, oh, God, I'm never going to get there. And you feel like you're displeasing to God, displeasing to everybody else. But the devil loves that when you will identify with that's who you are, but it's not. See, I wasn't weird. I wasn't rejected. I wasn't, because I always felt weird. I just did. I didn't feel like I could fit in with people. And I could be with people, but I couldn't ever fit in them. I was always the oddball out. And people actually even treated me that way, because rejection provokes spiritual forces from other people, too. It does. And they may have the same spirit that you do, you know. But the bottom line was it to me was amazing when I got set free from it that I no longer identified with it. It no longer was me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't know rejection was an actual spirit that could control and manipulate my life and tell me how I felt about myself. See, so what are your behaviors that keep coming up? Okay, when I dealt with that dog issue, okay, like I said, I kept coming against anger, and I already had dealt with that. So it was my flesh. But if you got certain issues, as soon as you see yourself walk in that pattern again, you stop. You say, no, I'm not doing this, devil. You get out in the name of Jesus. Cast it out. You got authority. Tell it to go. And then change your behavior. And you might have to do it 2 or 3 times, or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. But you don't quit. You take charge of your life. You begin to make choices to change. That was like when we decided to quit fighting, we would stop and say, I'm sorry. I didn't need to say that. Please forgive me. And so the next time opportunity came up, do you think we did it again? Yeah, we did. But we also stopped and we confronted it, took authority over it, and refused to go anymore with it. We didn't step forward again. See, we took a step back from it. We submitted to what God was telling us, and it broke it. You see? So, yeah, you need to cast out the demon, but you need to work with God to bring about your wholeness. How a person reacts to a situation is what determines which emotions are recorded, and that's kind of why you can tell. If you're always embarrassed or shame, what is the reason for that shame? What is the reason for that worthlessness? Okay? I had rejection from inheritance, because my father had a lot of rejection. And then I had rejection from his treatment of me, you see. So it was like a double whammy in there, because we inherit it, and then we walk it out and act it out, and we usually end up receiving the behavior from our parents, all of their anger, all their issues, okay? And so we begin to function out of that type of a mindset. So it was not just inheritance, but it was also behavioral issues. And so then when we got married, and I don't know why, but it's when you get married that they get the worst. They rise up and they want to manifest because they have an agenda. Destroy the marriage. That's the agenda. That ought to make you mad. Why should you stick it out? Because you have children. You have little ones. Takes two to fight, doesn't it? And you know what? I was listening to somebody on TV the other day who talked about some issues they had in their marriage years before. And they said, but they stuck it out. And now they're best friends. See, when we decide to stick out things and work them out, because there's so much that hangs in the balance. What hangs in the balance really is your generations. It's not about you. It's about your future generations. The reason we're all messes, we're messes, is because nobody counted the cost back there to deal with their issues. See, but we're counting the cost. We've made decisions. We've made choices. Okay? All right. One person may shrink in fear and rejection, while another may react in anger and attack. Someone else may try to deal with the pain by hiding in a liquor bottle. Another one may deny the whole situation. In other words, try to escape and go into a fantasy world. The propensity, generational tendencies, are the iniquity that is resident within a person determines the way they will respond. And again, iniquity, I have a teaching on that, is so huge. It's a crooked bend is what iniquity means. So when we've had these patterns forever in our generations, there is a natural bend towards things, okay? So those, again, we break them off and we stand up straight. That's making the crooked places straight, isn't it? He said that. I will make the crooked places straight. When the emotional reaction to an incident is discovered, the associative trigger can be discovered. These emotions are the touch stones of association that trigger character dysfunction. When the individual gets in a related or associated situation, in other words, when something provokes that to come back, the emotion will subconsciously reoccur. If they initially reacted in anger, then they're going to get angry. So even if you stuffed your anger back in the day, you're still an explosive volcano. Because that has to come out. And when something triggers, it's like, boom, you blow up. Okay? Or, again, depending upon if it's fear, you shrink back. Something triggers you to shrink back. Something triggers you to hide or feel insecure. If that person, I just said this, but if they cowered in fear, they will cower in fear again. The unbalanced emotion, and that's what it is, shows the weakness in the mind and the focal point for a spiritual attack. So we are set up. The enemy strategically sets us up through our childhood. You will find that when you deal with ritual abuse. These people are so strategically broken in life that, and this is proven, this is actually proven medically, that when they hit certain years, when certain ages, that the whole system where they've held things together to try to function and operate in life, the whole system begins to break down and they begin to fall apart. And that's proven over and over and over and over, okay, because of exactly what I just said to you, okay? And that, again, is why it's crucial that we deal with, and even when you're dealing with ritual abuse, and I know I have people in here that are dealing with it, you're still accountable. You're still accountable. I've worked with people in ritual abuse, and it's not nothing I want to do. It never has been. But God's pushed me out into that, and I will obey God. But in that, the people who go the farthest and get the most freedom are those that are willing to do what you tell them to do, willing to deal with their issues, willing to get out of self-pity. And I am in no way, I don't want to sound hard, but I want to sound hard. You know what I'm saying? Because we cannot pamper and babysit the destructive things that the devil has done in our lives. We've got to stop that. Because the more we babysit it, the more we coddle it, the stronger it becomes. And it has one purpose. The devil only has one purpose, and that's destruction. Never anything else but that. Okay. The weakness in the mind shown by the emotional record will be the stronghold in the mind and potentially the location of the stronghold. The association or the trigger mechanism, I'm almost done, that brings the memory back is the emotion that was felt at the time of the incident. A major element in the process of memory healing is for the Holy Spirit. Now, this is going to be a major process for you. For the Holy Spirit to expose the emotion where the stronghold is resident. This happens when he opens the eyes of our understanding. And you know, there's scripture that God even prays, or Paul prays that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. And he will expose the lie. When the lie is exposed and it's confronted with truth, lies can never stand up to the truth. And it's this lie that has been resident in the mind, in the soul, since the negative thing happened in your life. And it could be something that happened over and over and over, like a parent constantly abusing a child in one way or another. So that thing is well established in your life. But you know, in Jeremiah, it says to root out, to pull down, okay? And that's, again, our responsibility. You are not a hopeless case. Even if the devil's told you you're a hopeless case, that is a lie. And you are not a hopeless case. We will work with you. We'll begin to help you root out. But, again, you have the responsibility to work with us and to do your part, because we don't do magic around here, okay? Okay, so the Holy Spirit will expose the emotion where the stronghold is resident. This happens when he opens the eyes of our understanding and exposes the lie that has been resident since the trauma occurred. The emotional imbalance is the lie that the person has believed, and it is the stronghold that must be removed for the injury to be healed. It's the lie the person has believed. Like, there must be something wrong with me. I just can't fit in. Nobody wants me. Because where does that go back? It probably goes back to my entire life. But that were emotions. Those were emotions I felt because of, number one, my father just pushing me away from him. And I've told you that before. I had a little brother, and it was his first son. That was where his attention was. We had a little girl that loved him, too. You see what I'm saying? And so there must have been something wrong with me. And then I had shame and I had humiliation because, again, there had to be something wrong with me that my dad didn't love me and didn't want to hug me. See, so how that lie is built. There was nothing wrong with me. There was a father who was pretty dysfunctional himself from the way he was raised. And see, even though our parents might have been total jerks to us, you can't hold them accountable either, because they're like they were because of their parents. And then their parents are like they were because of their parents. And it goes back and back until somebody says, we're done. See? So just deal with it. Forgive them so you can move forward. Okay? Because we all have come out of dysfunction. If we want to hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness, we hold on to a degree of that dysfunction and then literally alter what God can do in our lives. The Holy Spirit here is the one who brings about your healing. Jesus paid for the healing, but the Holy Spirit will deliver it. He, the Holy Spirit, doesn't erase our memories. he reveals the truth concerning that memory. He reveals the whole truth to us, which deals then with the lie that's been set up in the emotion and the memory. He opens the eyes of our understanding, shows us exactly what was going on behind the scenes when the traumatic event took place. And when the Holy Spirit shows us the whole truth, we will not be impacted by that lie or that negative emotion, but we will be impacted by the truth of God's word. And it totally does that. I don't live in rejection. I don't walk in rejection. If you don't like me, it's just your loss, because I'm a nice person. And you might enjoy getting to know me. I'm just being smart. But you see what I'm saying? That I don't serve that idol anymore. And it was an idol. We have idols that we don't even realize they're idols. Fear can be an idol that you bow to and bow to. You never go out. You never do anything. You're afraid of people. You're this, because you keep bowing and submitting to that idol, whatever it is. Okay? Pornography, lust. What are we bowing to? Going off into a fantasizing world becomes like a god to us. Okay, we endure trauma because we have viewed incidents with our physical eyes only. What we have seen, we actually happened, but we have not seen it through the spiritual realm, only the natural one. The emotion that has impacted us from the flesh, not the spirit. Satan, through his demon, magnifies the terror and the fear, which opens the doorway. I mean, it becomes so much bigger to us, and then has a portal for entry. They build a stronghold based on a part truth. When the Holy Spirit takes you back and shows you the whole truth and the emotions that have lied to you, you will be refuted by a higher truth, the revelation of what was really going on in both the spiritual and the physical realm. When he opens the eyes of your understanding and shows you the emotion that you've been carrying in your memories of that trauma, they then begin to fade away. And the new realization of God's love and protection comes to you. And the injury is healed, but not by erasure. Okay, he doesn't erase them. When he dealt with me, brought the memories back. I'm going to quit because I'm going to wear you guys out today. We're going to finish next week, and we're actually going to pray next week. But I would encourage you throughout the week, you know, you can do this on your own too. You can say, Holy Spirit, speak truth into this place where I feel so rejected or so much fear, timidity. I had a spirit of fear too, and a spirit of intimidation. I was very intimidated, mostly by men, because I was intimidated by my father, you know. But when God spoke truth into those things and delivered me from those things, that person is totally gone. That behavior is totally gone. It's not who I am, but it was my identity. See, so what has been demanding your identity? Find out why it's there. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. That is the word of knowledge in operation. Ask him to take you back. And then whatever he shows you, let him speak truth into what really happened, no matter how severe it was. You know, we've had people who when God exposes the lie, they've even seen Jesus. Now, you might not. I never did. When he exposed what he did to me, I didn't see him. You know, so don't go looking for something. Let him do whatever he needs to do to you, okay? He knows who you are, and so you don't want to get out into a gray area, all right, and try to get something worked up. Let the Holy Spirit lead you into those areas, all right? Then that's a safe place. So let him show you those things. Why do I keep acting like I do, God? You know, and it might be a number of things. So he might need to start unloading some things from you, but let him do that, you know? And then as you do and you see those things, you know, you should speak into those areas and command those things to leave you in the name of Jesus. And they will leave you in the name of Jesus because you have authority. You have authority. You have authority. You have as much as anybody does, because it's all in Jesus. He's the one where your authority comes out of. That's why we all have equal authority. Some of us might operate in that authority more than others, but we all have the same authority. But when you do that, and then ask the Lord to heal that little broken part, or that broken part, might be a little one, might not be. But he knows how to heal it and bring it back into wholeness. Ask him to do that, to bring that part of your life back into a place of wholeness. The day that I did that one I was particularly telling you about, I was sitting in my chair, and I said, Lord, do you think maybe that I might have a broken part? Because that came to me. So I'm asking God if he thinks I might have. And I thought, well, God, if I do, then I'm just going to ask you to reintegrate me and grow me up. And he did. That was it. I was sitting in my chair, got up, and da-da. Because, you know, I was just like nonchalant. Okay, I'm going to do this, and then I did that, and then I did this. And all of a sudden, never ever felt that again. And then what God did with me was all of a sudden one day I was thinking, I thought, I don't feel like that anymore. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And so it was not a major big explosion. It was just the Holy Spirit coming in and healing an area of woundedness and brokenness in my life. And wow. And it enables me then to be more of a whole person to do what God's called me to do. You know, it's hard to do whatever we do in life if there's all areas of brokenness. Because you never know when you're going to have a meltdown. You never know when this, you know, whatever's going to happen. Well, the more you come into that place of wholeness, the stronger you become physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. See, so we allow God to bring us back into alignment in every area of our life. Amen? Hallelujah, this is good stuff. What a mighty God we serve. No matter what the devil has set up against us, Jesus has an answer for us. And that's why I'm saying to you, you've got to go to Jesus. Jesus is your answer. You know, if you don't feel you're close to Jesus, just work on it. Just go to him. Just run to him. He's always got arms open wide. He never closes his arms to us. He's always open wide. You know, if you think, you know, I used to think I was God's worst kid. You know, where did I get that? My dad telling us we were all the worst kids in the neighborhood. So I thought that, but I wasn't, you know. But you see how those things impact. So look at your negative thoughts. That's not who you are. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And as he is, so are we in this world. That means if Jesus is righteous without spot, stain, then I am too. I didn't say that. He did. As he is in this world, so am I. I'm righteous. I'm loved. I'm not a mess. I'm loved of God. I'm not a failure. I'm a success. I've got answers because he's my answer. You see, don't let the devil establish identity in you. You let God. All right? Let me pray over you, and then I'm going to, we've got about, I don't know, what time are we supposed to be out of here, Tim? 12? What, 12? Is that what you said? All right, well, that's 10 minutes, so I guess we won't pray for you today. But you know what? Do come up. Get prayer at the altars if you want to tomorrow. Let's see, today's Saturday, church tonight. And just about, a lot of our team is trained to operate in this ministry anyway. But then tomorrow we have two services. And then next week we're going to absolutely do corporate that is the coolest thing I've ever experienced. Corporate emotional healing. It's an experience like nothing. It's as much fun as we have casting out devils corporately. Wow. Because, oh, God just so wraps his arms around you. So I just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask God that you bless your people. God, I declare that your people are blessed coming in and they are blessed going out. Father, we declare, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wholeness comes to your people, and that God, what the enemy has endeavored to destroy in their lives, God, as you're healing and as they're coming to you to be healed, and as they press in and receive that healing, God, that you will take what the enemy meant to destroy them, and you will use them to help many in the name of Jesus. The devil will wish he'd never messed with you because you're going to become an answer. Okay? We became an answer because we got tired of being messed with. We took our son, the one I was telling you about, that ran away from home, and got him deliverance. And in that, we got our deliverance. And in that, multitudes have been delivered. See, what the devil meant to destroy us, and our story is a whole lot bigger than that, but God can take any situation and turn it around and then use you to help others. Amen. Amen.